was December the 6th, 1983. I was doing time for armed robbery. At 4 in the morning, I was sitting in my cell. I heard a whistle blow, then I heard somebody yell.
There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. There's a riot going on. Up in cell block number 9.
Yes, my friend. There's a riot going on. Right here at the Republic Broadcasting Network. It's a stampede to commerce and the beneficiaries in common technology. You know that because you're listening to Take No Prisoners, the featured act, every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and thank you for joining me. Our number tonight for your BIC questions is 800-313-9443. If you're interested in attending the 5-day Comprehensive Law Merchants Leadership Conference on August 2nd through the 6th, or you'd like to order the Rockland, Massachusetts seminar, then by all means, please send an email to roberta@hush.com. And you can address your comments about the program tonight to me at TakeNoPrisoners@hush.com. You can also download the broadcast, as you can every week, from the Republic Archives, and it's available literally minutes after we leave the air. In fact, it's in 2 downloads, and the first one may be available after the completion of the first hour of the program. I'm here with you tonight for 2 whole hours. I know we could probably use about 4, and I'm very, very glad that you've joined me. My friends, it's Sunday night, May 27th, Memorial Day weekend, they tell me, which is that solemn respite when Americans remember the sacrifices of their ancestors in defending the United States Federal Corporation. And they do that by watching the Indianapolis 500 and drinking a lot of beer and barbecuing and watching the president walk past the graves of his victims for a photo op. So it's a very exciting holiday, I'm sure, in keeping with what the founders of the holiday had in mind. Oh, the hallowed tradition. 2 weeks ago, we reviewed the Stage 1 BIC. By the way, those statements should not be construed to be denigrating or judgmental of our veterans, those folks who made the most difficult of all decisions to risk the ultimate sacrifice on behalf of what they thought and probably their ancestors still believe was their country, never realizing that in 1861 the Republic was suspended in favor of the military democracy. Anyway, 2 weeks ago we reviewed the Stage 1 BIC presentation processes, and last Sunday we reviewed bankruptcy and treasury liquidation as two of the premier Stage 2 hellfire enforcement strategies in context with the most provocative question that we face in the freedom movement, and one that, by the way, we are answering successfully as we cut our teeth on the BIC process and we construct this usable BIC user's manual on these very broadcasts. And that question is, how do you rescue an innocent former surety from prison or probation? And in doing that, how do you successfully resist a foreclosure or any other situation you may have, paying all liabilities, transferring the liability, paying all of the obligations and transferring the liability to the holders of the instrument? That, in a nutshell, is what BIC is all about. When we return from the break, in 3 minutes, I'm going to bring you some very interesting emails from folks who are succeeding in applying BIC in their lives. Please join me.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. The call-in number tonight is 1-800-313-9443, and I do hope you'll use it. We have a couple of lines open. We're not planning any guests tonight, possibly one, but it does not look like we'll be intervening with any guests. So if you have particular questions about BIC, tonight would be a good time to get them in. And all you have to do is identify your first name and the state you're calling from. Folks, I'd like to make 3 points, if I may. Your remedy is in commerce. Commerce works if we give it sufficient time. And when we use commerce, we are proving our desire to coexist in peace as neutral non-belligerents to the United States. There is so much positive activity that is currently ongoing. There are so many good things happening involving BIC. It's almost hard for me to find words to really express to you the various knowledge and feeling that I'm able to share with folks who are involved in the process currently. We're seeing miracles every day. We're seeing situations that look completely bleak turn around on a dime. we're seeing situations even after we start that continue to look bleak, and then suddenly there's the light at the end of the tunnel at the point when you least expected it. You know how those things go. We're going to continue with that theme tonight. We started off last week with an email from one of the BIC aficionados, a former attendee at the Law Merchants Leadership Conference. And that individual had wonderful things to report regarding successes involving two children in the family who had been arrested on nonsense felonies, as many of you sitting out there have been. But you know how it is for all of you folks listening tonight or reading the transcripts who are embroiled in tough situations, please listen to what I'm about to say. When the going gets tough, when the threats to you and your family seem completely insurmountable, when the long, dark night appears like a dark alley in a ghetto, that's when you need to remember that creditors truly control the world in a world that can only exist in bankruptcy as far as law and commerce. Creditors control the world. That's when you need to remember when the tunnel appears dark and there's no light at its end. You need to remember that the conversion of liability to third-party defendants, the clerks, the judges, the public officials, the banking executives, and the police officials works, and it works when you least expect it, and the tools at your disposal are almost endless. We covered most of those tools at the Law Merchants Leadership Conference. However, the repeat of that conference in August is going to have some surprises. There's nothing I want to get into too much on the air. But when commerce becomes a reflex, when your transactions and your existence in commerce becomes as ordinary as hopping in your car to shop for groceries, at that point, almost anything is possible. One talks about monetization, for instance. Well, I just had an email communication from someone who, even pre-BIC, was using these same technologies to monetize what appeared to be losses. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about commerce, we talk about the operational currency of the United States, which is liability. The United States, the methodology, the characteristic modus operandi of the United States in its commercial and legal enterprises is to monetize liability, to give value to liability. And there are many, many ways to do that from on the private side, from the perspective of being a creditor. If you're going to operate in commerce, you need to have faith in commerce, similar to how you have faith in the Lord. You talk with the Lord, you hear His voice, but you cannot honestly say that you have ever tangibly had the Lord so you could lay hands on Him in the sense of the solid world, the tangible world, which, as we all know, is really the fiction world, because the real world is waiting for us beyond. But we have faith that the real world is waiting for us beyond. In the same manner, I have complete faith that when I start a commercial procedure, if I give it adequate time, it will succeed. If I give it adequate time and have adequate courage to engage those parties that need to be educated, it will succeed. And many times, even without the contribution of those parties. Let me read you an email, if I may, from a fellow who has been embroiled for years in a vexing criminal case. And this case arose, as often happens, out of a civil case where he became embroiled somewhat over his head. And what happens? The party that he sued, the party that he attempted to settle with privately, which happened to be a relative, was part of the good old boy network, and he wasn't, and he was also from out of the area. What happens? Next thing you know, criminal charges. We'll show that guy a lesson or two. He's been fighting an intransigent judge who denies by actual phraseology in open court the existence of admiralty in his admiralty courtroom. This patriot recently completed a competent treasury liquidation process as he learned it at the Law Merchant Leadership Conference last April, and as we'll be reviewing on August 2nd, 3rd, on August 4th, I believe, at the leadership conference coming up in Albany, New York. I say competent because this process has been really refined to leave no stone unturned and yet to keep it short and sweet. And this fellow doing it has learned along the way how to execute appropriately, knowing who he is and what he's trying to accomplish as a creditor. Dear Sam, my telephone hearing this morning with Judge James Jones, we'll call him, and yet another new assistant prosecutor went well for me. The new prosecutor read excerpts from the forensic competency exam, which certified me sane and competent to stand trial and represent myself. Excuse me. The judge scheduled a preliminary hearing for July 10th and directed the assistant prosecutor to engage in negotiations for a plea to a misdemeanor between now and then. What does that already tell you? The prosecutor said she was very unfamiliar with the case, but understood there was a settlement in the record, and she wanted to call and talk to me about a plea to a misdemeanor. The judge interrupted her and said that that was tried at one point, and she practically begged him to let her settle the matter with me, and again told the judge there appeared to be a settlement in the record. This is just a few weeks after the Treasury liquidation was properly filed, with Treasury, of course. Notice was given to the court, and the prosecutor disappeared from the case. I was asked for my phone number so the prosecutor could call me. She told the judge she did not think it would be necessary for me to come all the way to, let's say, West Virginia on July 10th, he's from out of state, and requested that we just have another phone conference instead. So here is the prosecutor begging not to have an in-court proceeding. Imagine that. How many of you have seen prosecutors operate in that fashion? Or would the prosecutor normally go out of their way to bring you and drag you across state lines to strengthen the displeasure, figuring that if he ups the dose of castor oil, you will succumb to his plea agreement to spend 5 years in jail instead of 10, and he can get it off of his desk. So anyway, she tells the judge that I don't think it's necessary for this fellow to come up to West Virginia on July 10th and request that we have another phone conference instead. The judge said, well, I'm just going to schedule this for July 10th because we have Mr. Smith on the phone now, and if you work things out between now and then, we can change things later. I could tell the new assistant prosecutor did not want to get in the middle of this mess and wanted it to go away. See, folks, if you come in, if you make a big mess as a barnstorming, desk-pounding patriot, they want to get in the middle of it because they know you're going down. But if you bring commerce into it and make it clear you've shifted the liability to them and they have risk, suddenly the mirror is operational. And everything you expect them to do is the exact opposite of what they will do. And that's what the process of mirroring, by the way, is all about. Once you mirror their actions and shift the liability to them, the same way the clerk of court shifted the liability to you by making a presentment of the charging instrument, then you're going to find people suddenly disappearing from the case. I could tell the new assistant prosecutor did not want to get in the middle of this mess and wanted it to go away. I wonder what happened to the original prosecutor. The assistant said he was in a court trial today, and that may very well be true, and we wouldn't want to chalk this up necessarily as a success yet. However, it's clear that neither the judge nor the prosecutor is very enthusiastic at this point, and we're going to see that they're going to become less enthusiastic as we bring castor oil to the table. My friends, you're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to continue this BIC Fest with specificity of technique after the break in 3 minutes. Please join me. You don't want to miss it.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
Glad you made it. On the left, you'll know.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy. Our call-in number is 800-313-9443. By the way, friends, this program will very shortly be going out on shortwave and some select AM and FM markets as well, I'm pleased to announce. And the owner of the station, John, is working on that task right now. John always seems to be successful at what he undertakes, so I'm looking forward to expanding our message in the near future. By the way, to all those folks who have signed up for the Law Merchants Leadership Conference, and I might say, even though we have 2 months to go, it's filling up like wildfire. In fact, we got an email today from someone who was coming with 5 people from a study group, and that's what I like to see, at least 2 from a study group, so they bring back a working dialogue in front of the group, and those groups are just exploding and expanding, and the old members are coming back when they return home. But for any of those attendees who have signed up, make sure to review the comprehensive administrative process and the recourses in folder 4 on the Rockland, Massachusetts CD. The recourses, by the way, are enforcement strategies. Many of them evolved into BIC enforcement strategies. There are 17 of them on that CD. If you do that and you listen to this program, you will come in to the Law Merchants Leadership Conference in August loaded for bear, and we'll be shot out of a cannon on day one, I guarantee you. That said, before the break, I read you an email, one of many of that sort that we've been having. Notice the similarity of that email with last week's email, where cases simply disappear. I won't guarantee it, but my gut feeling is that that case regarding that email we just read is on the verge of finding some gentle way to slowly vaporize. And hopefully we'll have further news on that in the following weeks. That's something that I found in my Patriot education over the years. It tends not to be follow-up. You hear about a technology, people try it, then you may hear a case or two of people who are in trouble, and then that's the last you hear of it. No one ever tells you, hang on, this is being done wrong, or you shouldn't do it that way. They move right on to the next technology. We are here with BIC to stay because we are grounded in basic principles of commerce. We may get better at it. I hope we get better at it. Expand our knowledge more, expand our technology, but the joint tenancy principle, the beneficiaries in common principle, is here to stay, and it is making a revolution around the world, and I don't say that loosely. The pathway that was laid out by, you remember Congressman Lewis McFadden, who was chairman of the House Banking and Currency Committee, I think in the 20s, and then was just a committee member in the 30s, when he made those scathing speeches to Congress, when he indicted the Federal Reserve Board and other assorted public officials seeking impeachment, it was very clear that he was laying out a pathway for funding of inventory around the world. Let me say tonight, without saying too much, I believe we have found that pathway. I believe that we have finally unraveled that mystery, and we are in the process of executing that right now, and that's what BIC is all about. Nothing short of that. Nothing short of pulling back the curtain and revealing the Wizard of Oz. And I say that even beyond the information that the attendees at the last Law Merchant Leadership Conference were able to take home with them. There's more on the table, and that will become clear as it unfolds. We're seeing miracles happen every day. And, folks, it is very much to the benefit of the Department of Treasury and the United States and all of those public officials who understand that, this is a commercial system of law. And those public officials listening tonight who don't, go look up 27 CFR, Code of Federal Regulations, 72.11, and you'll get a little bit of insight into what we're talking about. We are slowly but surely funding the government, and we will be, I'm sure, in a brief period of time, watching this so-called deficit in fiction eliminated by assets in reality. Speaking of last week, here's another email from a listener who used the techniques that I believe I reviewed at the beginning of the program regarding a contempt hearing for failing to reveal the location of property subject to repossession. He was in a replevin situation. Those of you who haven't downloaded last week, I urge you to download and listen carefully to those contempt suggestions because, A, they work. B, if you focus in on being charged with contempt, there's no need to focus in on the issue of records, the issue of replevin, repossession, or anything else that would be a debtor's position, because you will have effectively paid off the liability and satisfied all parties. They may not understand that, but shortly they will, and then the second time around, they won't put other people through that same nonsense because they'll realize that the liability is in effect being settled. Sam, I guess I dodged. Well, folks, somehow the powers that be don't want me to read this email until after the break. So might I suggest that you take a couple of minutes and refresh, lock the kids up in their bedroom, and then come on back to the radio, to the internet, and join me for the next half hour of Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Matson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 3 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Hi, welcome to America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. The call-in line is 800-313-9443. I know we have callers hanging. Callers, I promise you, we're going to take that call, that first call, right after this next email. And all you folks out there who are cursing me for not getting onto technology, stick with me because the technology is about to begin. Last week, we spoke about three or four specific contempt hearing technologies. Now, I don't care what kind of case you're involved in. You had better know instinctively. Like you know your name. Well, of course, that's probably not something I should say in the Patriot Movement. Like you know your dog's name, how to handle a challenge about contempt. Here's a fellow who sent us an email about a contempt hearing he held this past week. Sam, I guess I dodged a bullet being incarcerated. He's not incarcerated, but he was threatened with incarceration. Even though the plaintiff's attorney begged that I'd be held in criminal contempt and should be incarcerated up to 180 days, etc. Imagine that. Plaintiff's attorney begged. Now, how often does an attorney go in there and say, here is a motion to show cause why he should not be held in contempt, and how many times is that motion unsuccessful? Don't patriots always get sent to jail for having actually participated in contemptuous behavior by embarrassing the court by not fulfilling their stipulated promises in their existing contracts, which is what contempt is all about. Continuing with the email. They first asked me to swear in, which I asked, is he, plaintiff's attorney, going to swear in, judge? And the judge said he's an officer of the court and an attorney, and he doesn't need to. Now, folks, in a situation like that, I might have asked, well, is this a non-evidentiary or an evidentiary hearing? If he doesn't need to swear in, why does another party need to swear in? There are many other ways to handle the swearing issue as well, including religious objections. We went around a little with this, eventually agreed under duress but by special appearance, and the judge chuckled sarcastically. I presented my record stating that I was a secured party, first-in-line creditor, and if there was anything else to talk about today, otherwise, please write me a check and I'll be on my way. I guess that's commerce in action. And that was one of the strategies that was discussed last week. Namely, showing up with your social security, with your strawman social security card and birth certificates accepted for value, and a UCC 11 showing that you're first in line Paramount creditor. The judge wanted me to answer questions regarding location of property, right? They're not looking at contempt. They're looking at the performance that led to the contempt, but actually you're there on a contempt hearing. I brought his attention to the promissory note submitted yesterday to the clerk, which was in behalf of the United States Treasury, and that he and the attorney were co-beneficiaries. In other words, the boundaries are set here, right? On the south side of the field, we have the Yankees who are pushing the issue of property. And on the southern end of the field, we have the Confederates who are saying, everything's paid. What else is there to talk about? We have commerce waiting to storm the hill. The judge said, that is not a tender. Now, folks, when I hear that, my mouth is watering. I want the judge to say that. The stupider he is, the more I know I've got him in my pocket. So the judge said, it's not a tender. It has no value. It's just a piece of paper. And you can imagine the responses you might have had to say to that. Oh, it's the piece of paper. You mean like the indictment that you made presentment of? Well, that was just a piece of paper, wasn't it? This fellow goes on to say, I asked him if he had any evidence that it was not a tender. He said, U.S. laws. I asked, which ones? He just said, it is not tender. I asked, what defects exist in my counterclaim? And he learned that from Arthur on our first RBN program weeks ago. Maybe that's 4 or 5 weeks ago. You may want to download that from the archives. He said, there are many defects in the tender. I asked, what specific defects so I can correct them and make the parties whole? Commerce, again. He again went for the property. I asked if he was refusing my tender. Now, folks, when we talk about the Lord delivering the right words, is there ever a more clear example than that? Are you dishonoring my tender here today and willing to accept that liability for and on the record? He said, you haven't made a tender. It has no value. Now, I'm sitting here jumping all over the place, folks, because he said that 3 or 4 times, and I want to get in there and make him prove up on that. I would have said, in that case, are you willing to step down, sir, and testify to having firsthand knowledge of that or firsthand knowledge of being in possession of a certificate of protest on the instrument or notice of dishonor or any indication from the drawee that the instrument is invalid, or are you willing to accept the liability? They pushed on with the property. I stated I didn't care about the property. Imagine this. I didn't care about the property as it was moot, considering this matter is settled barring any evidence to the contrary. My friends, that is a creditor talking. He threatened me with contempt if I didn't answer the question. Now, this is where everybody starts to cower. And this fellow said, I accept for value the contempt and ask what is owed. In other words, that's fine, judge. I accept that for value. How much is the bill on that contempt so I can pay it? And here, I have a tender of payment right now. And by the way, if he says one more time, that's not tender, or if he says I'm going to hold you in contempt for attempting to pass that off as tender, my next statement to him would be, judge, are you ordering me to pay in anything other than gold or silver? And now let's see where that hearing goes. Anyway, this fellow says, I accepted for value the contempt and asked what is owed. I never got an amount, but the attorney said they would accept legal tender. Now, isn't that the point in time to say legal tender? Very good. Are you ordering me to pay in anything other than gold or silver? And since this is a state court, if they say, well, obviously, you have them in a double bind. And if they say, yes, I am ordering you to pay in legal tender, is that gold and silver you're ordering me? And if you get them somehow to admit, no, it's not, they're in violation of the Constitution. And right there in the courtroom, you're going to put an end to this hearing. If, on the other hand, they say they're ordering you to pay in gold and silver, which they won't, but if some wise guy judge did say, well, gold and silver is acceptable, you say, fine, how am I to secure gold and silver when it's been made against the law? Are you ordering me to violate the law? And leave it up to him to figure out which law. Either way, they're in a double bind. It's a catch-22. So this fellow goes on to say, they are deeming the property stolen, and I have 10 days to provide the name of the person involved with the movement of the property. The judge said that he is maintaining jurisdiction, etc., etc., and that since I showed up, which he didn't think I would, and that I answered questions, even though he thought evasive, he would not fine for contempt. I'll tell you what happened here. That judge understood that he was in the liable position. And this fellow who wrote the email, if he's listening, and if he's not, I know he'll have the download in a day or two. My suggestion would be to do exactly what you indicated in the statement. If it was in the statement to the judge, if it was me, I would accept everything for value. I would issue a bonded promissory note, and I would move immediately to treasury liquidation. And I might even provide a 1099 to the court on the original promissory note, and I might even file that with the Internal Revenue Service as an indication that they have decided to hold the payment and therefore they're showing a profit, and I would report them. Now, I'm not recommending that to anyone, but that's what I might consider doing in a case. Remember, folks, this program is for entertainment only. And you would be foolish to try any of this unless you know exactly what you were doing and who you are. I consider the Internal Revenue Service to be my friend and to be my collection agent. And they will collect when funds are being withheld. And that includes if it's a court that's withholding funds from Treasury. So I would, at minimum, if it was me, file a treasury liquidation procedure. And this guy goes on to say he blew off any and all dealings with secured party, tender, promissory note, etc. Actually, I don't agree with that. He didn't hold them in contempt. What was stopping him from saying, you're in contempt, you don't give me that name right now, you're in contempt? Anytime they say, well, we'll take this up in 10 days, you know they don't know what's happening or they know they're at risk. And then this fellow said, is it time for treasury liquidation as the clerk is just going to sit on the promissory note? Well, hallelujah. My friends, liquidation is like Jell-O. There's always room for Jell-O, and there's always room for treasury liquidation. Jell-O. Hey, isn't Jell-O spelled J-E-L-L-O with a hyphen? I guess that's the original Patriot dessert, isn't it? So anyway, we have a caller on the line. If you have any questions, by the way, about a contempt hearing, by all means, send them along to takenoprisoners@hush.com, and by all means consider requesting a registration form from Roberta if you want to learn more about this technology at the Law Merchants Leadership Conference, and she's at robertat@hush.com. Kelly from Washington, are you there? Are you on the line?
I am.
Hi, Kelly. Thank you very much for joining us.
You bet, Sam. Good talking to you. Hey, on a domestic issue, there's no obvious charging document. The state's just getting involved in an issue. There's no indictment, information, or traffic ticket or anything like that. What exactly is the charging document on a domestic issue?
Well, what kind of domestic issue are you talking about?
Well, like a divorce, where they're coming in trying to raid the trust and take the property and do all that kind of stuff.
Boy, that's a good question, Kelly. Kelly, do you have experience in commerce?
A little bit.
Is this divorce your divorce?
Yes.
How long ago does the divorce date back?
How long has the divorce been going on?
Yes. Is this an ongoing action at the moment?
Yes.
When did it begin?
March.
And how long have you been, quote-unquote, married?
25 years.
Wow. Well, my condolences. I know that's always a difficult time.
Yeah.
First of all, as with most any question I would be asked about a contractual issue, I would refer you back to the origin of the problem. And you want to take a guess where this problem arose, Kelly?
In the marriage license contract.
Yeah. What is the license?
A license is permission to do that which would otherwise be unlawful.
Yeah, you've been cheating here, Kelly. You've been listening to some people like me.
Well, I've been in this for about 10 years.
It sounds like it. You got to be careful who you listen to. Well, some of our audience may not be as experienced as you are. And suffice it to say that the marriage license is a contract where two subordinate partners, completely in exclusion of the Lord, join in contract with the state. The state becomes the principal and has rights of entitlement to all of the profits and proceeds of that business arrangement. And that license really doesn't create a marriage, especially when the pastor or the judge or the priest or the rabbi or the minister, whomever, says, based upon the power invested in me by the state of Washington, I now pronounce you man and wife. Well, he hasn't pronounced you man and wife at all. What he's done is engaged you in a contract of sexual commerce by which the state can take possession of the children. And you're probably familiar with that, am I correct?
Yes, it's actually a three-party contract.
That's correct. So, have you done anything to redraft that contract?
Well, right now it's just been a fight in the court dealing with the Inchoate contract on that direction, and that I'm not the defendant, and moving on those lines.
Yeah, well, let me make this point that I've made before, and I can't stress it often enough nor strongly enough, that commerce is your best jurisdictional argument. First of all, I find family court repugnant. Maybe that's because my wife used to watch, what was that program? What was that Judging Amy program where she sat at the head of family court and she tried to act like God. And she was very accurate. She showed much of the disdain that we see in many judges who occupy that bench and feel that they're at the head of their own fiefdom. If it was me, I would use the BIC process to accomplish what BIC seems to accomplish better than anything else, which is zeroing out the account, paying off the contract, and all liabilities which have been attributed to or caused by the contract, and then redrafting the contract to my liking. And I would do all of that using the stage one BIC process, if it was me, where I would be issuing indemnity bonds to Treasury at a feverish clip, I might add, every 4 days probably, to get up to the potential liability that might be incurred here. Have you ever decoded an individual master file?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever seen the IRS decoding manual?
I have not. I'm familiar with the process, but I haven't personally done it.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting book to scroll through. In fact, if you do, I had a very interesting discussion with Gene Keating this week. We were on, boy, I'll tell you, it used up all the minutes in two of my phones, and we were on probably 3 or 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very clear that all of these commercial transactions are actually involve taxes based upon gifts. So those of you listening to my voice tonight might want to be taking a look at 1041s instead of 1040s, and that's all I'll say on that subject. But you might want to take a look at it and read the decoding manual and see how you can make a contribution to the United States Treasury, and I mean that sincerely. One of the goals of VIC is to coexist with the United States peacefully as neutral non-belligerents, and to be stopping all of this jurisdictional stuff and argument and yelling and contempt, and let those poor judges get back to fleecing those folks who want to work in the world of discharge instead of in the world of set-off. And slowly, we're heading in that direction. We've seen tremendous strides. So if it was me, Kelly, I would be issuing the appropriate BIC instruments, and then I would make a very significant presentment of a bonded promissory note issued by myself as the maker, and I would probably make the county a beneficiary along with the Secretary of the Treasury in his capacity as the United States trustee.
Okay.
And if you hang around, if you don't mind a little commercial entertainment here, Kelly, we'll pick this up after the break. You stay with us?
I will.
Very good. So you're listening, my friends, to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. When we come back, we'll see if we can expand upon this idea of contracts and marriages and divorce into stage two enforcement strategies, hellfire enforcement strategies.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Welcome back, my friends. I'm Dr. Sam Kennedy, and this is Take No Prisoners. We're here talking to Kelly from Washington. Kelly, this divorce has been going on a little while now, and
yeah.
you've been involved in jurisdictional arguments in the court?
Yes.
How did those go over?
Actually, this is going quite well this time. What we're tacking on is the issue of our equitable interests have been bailed into the trust, the creation of the state for a lifetime of sweat equity and that kind of stuff, and that the agents of the principal being the state and the creator of this trust, are coming in and to raid that that property, that equitable interest, out of their trust, their creation. And dealing with the issue of it's an inchoate contract, there are no signatures on the marriage license, and, of course, I am the creditor, not the named defendant. And that actually has been going quite well. But I was asked a question earlier today by a dear friend of mine, quite knowledgeable in this stuff. She said, well, you know, there's no indictment, there's no information, no charging document. Where's the charging document? Basically, the state is just getting involved in this domestic situation. And we couldn't see, obviously, what is the charging document?
Yes, well, you know the answer to that, of course, I'm sure, before you ask the question. They are executing their what is assumed to be their first right of lien on the contract being the license, and they are assuming that no rational person would not take advantage of the privilege of the marriage license, which entitles them to all of the perks that are associated with that license. So that's what they're operating upon, and in my opinion, it would pay to redraft that contract sooner rather than later. But it sounds like you have a pathway that may be working for you.
Mm-hmm. Is the case number, the actual filing of the original suit, is that the charging document that we're looking at?
Well, you're talking in terms of charging documents, but I like to think of it in terms of a claim that is being made upon whoever the presentment is made to. You were given a summons to come into the court?
Yes.
What more do you need than that?
Okay, so we consider that summons, the initial claim, that would be the charging document.
Well, again, I wouldn't be looking at it as a charging document because that's something that would apply to statutes. And I'm not concerned with their statutes. I look at these things 100% from a commercial perspective. And if I stay true to that commercial perspective, then I continue to retain my dominance as a creditor. And woe be to the debtor or attempted co-claimant who would attempt to stultify my claim or my debtor or myself in the capacity of creditor. And that's the position I'm going to hold on to. I don't care if they have a charging document, a charging instrument, if they send me tea leaves or a piece of toilet paper. I'm going to accept that as an offer on their behalf, and I'm going to ask them for their consideration on the offer, just like this fellow did. Where's your check? And if they don't provide consideration on the offer, I will consider that they have taken back a gift of my payment. They have attempted to foreclose on the trust, to put it in the trust terms that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And they have applied to me to become a co-claimant with my pre-existing claim against the debtor. And when they do that, they better stand in line and they better be sitting down at the same time because the co-claimant fee for joining my claim has been previously established by the principals at $50 million per event of stultification. So that would be my approach, Kelly.
Okay. I would use
BIC. And believe me, I'm not recommending this to you. You're obviously an intelligent, experienced guy. You probably have yourself a powerhouse group out there in Washington. But if it was me, obviously, I'd be dealing with this entirely by contract.
Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome, Kelly. Thanks for calling in. So, my friends, why don't we build upon that conversation? And we'll apparently... our first hour is already up. So I promise you, when we pick up in just 1 minute after the break, we will discuss the Hellfire enforcement strategies as they relate to redrafting contracts.